Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We are brought to you by the Tough Man Triathlon Series, by VeloFix.com, the coolest mobile bike shop around, by the Run the City 5K coming up on Thursday evening, June 15th. That'll be at 7 p.m. at beautiful Liberty Station in San Diego. That's San Diego's biggest office party. Also, our Challenged Athletes Foundation. We've raised over $80 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. You can check out any of our interviews on Babbittville.com or on iTunes. Definitely subscribe to our Endurance World newsletter. Our next guest is the festival director for the Women's Sports Film Festival. Her name is Susan Sullivan. Susan, how are you?
I'm great, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks so much. So is your background film? Is that something you were into when going back to high school and college days?
Nope. It was something really new that came up for me in the last couple of years when I made my own short film. And through making that film and having it go through the festival circuit, I learned a lot about film festivals and was exposed to a bunch of documentary films, which is the genesis of the film festival. But my background, as I think you know, is, you know, I have a background in triathlon, and that I worked for Cat Sports back in the 80s.
Yes.
During
the heyday of the United States Triathlon Series.
Yeah.
And what was your role with those guys back then?
So I worked at Cat Sports in the public relations and media relations with Kathy Plant. I think, the first employee after her to work in that particular area of the organization.
And that was right when the sport was getting going, right? The sport of triathlon, after the Julie Moss, Kathleen McCartney, 1982, in February, all of a sudden, the sport of triathlon was on the map. And the United States Triathlon Series came out in June of 82, and then the series Bud Light and Coca-Cola and the Coca-Cola Grand Prix. It just really caught fire. What did you gain from your time at the USTS Series and with Cat Sports?
Well, I didn't realize it at the time, but what I see it now, it was a startup. It was the complete startup mentality of we're making it up as we go. We're figuring it out as we go. And that energy is very infectious and very inspiring. And after I left that work, and working at Cat Sports in particular and on this series, there was a way that now that I'm doing this event, I can draw a line between the two and the energy of working like that.
Yeah, with the energy of basically every day, you're sort of creating things as you go, when you're sort of entrepreneurial, You wear a lot of hats, which sometimes is a lot of fun.
Yes, absolutely. If you can live that way too,
you have to have
a stomach for it. But absolutely. I can just remember back then. You know, this was before the time of the internet, and you just figured things out. You were faced with challenges, and you just figured it out because you had to.
Right.
And I mean, I could tell stories, but there were just so many amazing things that happened over the course of, I was only there for 2 years, but that really informed so many of the things that I did afterwards. So I really appreciate that experience.
What I always have felt that triathlon was great at is from the very beginning. I remember in, you know, the second ever Ironman, Lynn Lemaire was the first woman to do Ironman, and she finished fifth overall. And throughout the years of the USTS series, you had Paul Newby Frazier, you had Aaron Baker, you had Joan Hansen, you had great female athletes, and the prize money was always equal with Scott Molina and Scott Tinley. There was never this discrepancy that you see in cycling, right, and some other sports.
Absolutely.
The triathlon from the very onset was what I call an equal opportunity abuser, right? You come out there, and this sport's going to beat you up, but we're also going to treat people well.
Yes. I was also struck how in endurance sports in particular that you start to see men and women reaching coming neck and neck around results too, and we're sometimes like with the Western States 100, or and the longer the event is, the better chance a woman could potentially win that race.
Yes.
Or yeah. So I've always thought that was fascinating.
So tell me a little bit about your first foray into making a film.
So I made, I just had a story that I wanted to tell. And so I so many of the tools exist today for telling stories. And so I pulled together some folks and we did a series of interviews and pulled the film off. I just made a short film and it's called First Clue. And it was actually talking to women about their first clue that they were lesbians. And the whole idea was that a lot of times we focus on people's coming out stories, which are these stories that are really about, you know, what happened after you come out. But these were sort of these sweet stories about who you were before you knew who you were. And,
right.
And so they were these very sweet, sweet stories. And so that film actually wound up playing in over 50 film festivals around the world.
Wow.
And I just wanted to make this short little film. I had a little story to tell. I wondered if other people would have these stories to tell. And when it got into all these film festivals, I knew that I had struck a chord around storytelling, that I had a knack for that. And that I also received a fellowship with the Bay Area Video Coalition. I'm based in the Bay Area. And part of this year-long fellowship sent me to documentary film festivals across the United States. And when I was going to these film festivals, I learned a lot about documentary film and the stories that were being told and the stories that weren't being told.
It's funny because when we first started the Challenge Athletes Foundation, we felt right away that telling these stories of these amazing athletes through video, and they didn't need to be, they could be 4 minutes, they could be 5 minutes, but you can tell a heck of a story in a very short period of time that, you know, that how sport impacts people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
When you first came up with the concept of doing the Women's Sports Film Festival, were you surprised at the amount of people out there who wanted to participate?
You mean as filmmakers? As
filmmakers,
people who wanted to attend?
Yep, filmmakers.
Well, actually, what happened is I started seeing, we curated the entire program. So to answer the question, this year, now that we've opened up submissions, we are getting submissions. But the first year, we curated the entire program. So we reached out to particular people and asked them. And I have to say, you know, again, Bob, we were doing this for the first time. One of the reasons I started the festival was because I couldn't believe this film festival didn't exist, and I wanted to go to it. So there's that. And then once I decided that I did want to create it, I wanted to be first to market with it because I thought, this is a really good idea, and if I don't do it, someone else will. So I wanted to make sure we did our version of it or our vision of it. And so with the first film we did, we had 18 films. We had 8 full-length documentaries and 8 shorts over 3 days. And then this year we're going to be doing it again for 3 days and we've opened up submissions. And yeah, I think, you know, we've gotten a great feedback so far in terms of the submissions. But there could be more. There could be a lot more. And that's one of the reasons we're doing the festival as well, is to create an environment, a venue for these films to be highlighted so that other people can see them and screen them in their own venues as well.
Were there films last year, like you said, you curated them yourself, so you, I'm assuming, saw either all of them or most of them before you invited the filmmaker. Was there a film that surprised you in terms of the response from the audience?
Well, you know, we screened Diana Nyad's documentary, The Other Shore, and I guess it didn't really, have you seen it?
I have not.
Yeah, see, this is the other thing, too. All of these films that we screened, like people who I thought would have likely seen them because of their own interest hadn't even heard of them.
Right.
So I think you would love this movie, Bob. And the great news is you can get it on iTunes or, I know that one's on iTunes and a lot of them are on Netflix. But this is Diana Nyad's story about all her, you know, first her past and then also all of her attempts to, you know, make the swim from Havana to Key West.
Yep.
And then ultimately completing the swim. And what was, I guess, surprising about that is one that people hadn't heard of her. Or if they had heard of her, they hadn't known if she had completed the swim or not. And then it was so great to watch the film with people because it's very dramatic and very exciting and compelling. And so I think that was just one of the ones that surprised me. Trying to think if there's any others that... I think just the big thing was that people hadn't heard of these films, and then when they saw them, they were just delighted by them and wanted to tell other people about them and share them with people they knew.
What's fascinating to me is I think in this day and age, people think, well, people can just get films on Netflix or they can get them, they DVR them, that they're not going to come to a film festival to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
People want to, I think there's something about film that you want to be in an environment where you're sharing it with other people, right? Where you're in a, there's something special about that presentation, a dark theater with other like-minded folks and mm-hmm. leading to discussion afterwards. I'm imagining mm-hmm. that was one of the things that you enjoyed most about your first film festival.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's also something like just what you said, there's something very powerful about having that experience. And for us, you know, we have a real mission behind what we're doing as well, because right now women are very underrepresented in media, in major motion pictures, and then the ways women are portrayed aren't really super accurate around how real women live their lives. And, you know, there's a lot of press that's changing, but we really have a long way to go. And so for me, showing these films and having them be documentaries where people see these real women and their real struggles and their real victories is part of changing the narrative of, you know, it's kind of the phenomenon of that film Hidden Figures. Part of the popularity of that was, you know, that people didn't even know these women, that these women existed, nor their stories, nor their contributions. And that's part of what I am trying to do with these films as well. That people even be aware of them and experiencing them in the dark starts yeah. to change you on a different level. It does. You receive that information in a different way than when you're looking at your phone or your computer or even your TV.
Right. So in terms of the festival itself, are all the producers, directors, the people who is everybody a woman, or is it a woman producer and the story could be about a guy, or how does that work?
Okay, the way it works is the subjects are primarily women,
uh-huh.
and we would like to see women in the on the creative side
yep.
as a director or a producer or cinematographer, but that would really cut in half or diminish the numbers of films that we'd actually be able to show. So we do, whoever makes the film doesn't make a difference to us. We invite them. We want them to be part of the conversation. But the main focus is that we primarily want the main character of the film itself to be about a woman.
Got it. And this year, the film festival, is it in September this year?
Yes, we moved it into the school year. When we did it last year, we purposely did it the week before the Summer Olympics because
uh-huh.
we
yes.
wanted to be part of that news cycle
right.
because it's pretty much the only time you can be absolutely sure that we'll be talking about women's sports on an ongoing basis.
Right.
So that worked, and now we're going to be moving it into the school into September because we've had a lot of outreach from middle school and high school teachers who want to bring their students to the festival.
Oh, I bet they will. And
yeah.
So September 28th through 30th?
Yep. And in Oakland, California.
Mm-hmm. And womensportsfilm.com?
Mm-hmm.
I love
yes,
that.
Yes, it is, womensportsfilm.com. That's why, you know, with the apostrophes and the whole, there's a lot of S's in women's sports and
yes.
how to say it. But we did it because we are using the hashtag womensportsfilm because those are the three things we're about, women's sports and film.
And so are you working on any new films yourself?
No, this is my baby now. The only films I'm working on are our short video. We're going to be doing a Kickstarter crowdfunding campaign in June, along with the 45th anniversary of Title IX.
Nice.
To pre-sell the festival and support sending all those girls I just mentioned from local schools to the festival. So our only projects right now are those short videos and telling the story of the festival itself. But thank you for asking.
And in terms of the numbers that you had, people in the theater itself, last year, what did you have and what are you looking at this year?
We had about 500 people over the course of 3 days.
Wow.
We purposely were at a smaller community theater.
Yeah.
So that no matter how many people came, it would feel good.
Exactly. Feel- I know the tune. You're right. You don't want to be sitting in a mausoleum somewhere. Yeah.
It's like, what is it when you eat a meal?
Yes.
It looks like more food if it's sitting on a smaller place.
Exactly.
But we have this wonderful community theater called the New Parkway Theater, and it has couches and chairs, and they serve beer and wine and food. And so it's just a really comfortable experience as well. And so we had about five people over the course of the 3 days. And so we are going to be back at the New Parkway, but also at some other sites doing some screenings. We'll roll that out closer to the festival. And we're also having a one-day summit where we're going to be talking about sports and activism.
Nice.
And not only activism within women's sports, but how women's sports is a tool of activism in terms of responding to the political climate right now, because that's a big issue for folks, and there's a lot of conversation for that. So,
So
we're going to be a container to bring people together and have those conversations as well.
Will you be doing awards and things like that at this one?
Well, we did an audience awards last time. Yeah, and our audience award for the feature was a biography of Althea Gibson, the tennis player.
Yes.
And then we had a short film from Scotland that won that was about climbing, mountain climbing. So
Very cool.
Yeah, so we'll do audience awards. And then, you know, as we grow, we'll do juried awards. But first things first.
And in terms of the, like you said, eight short films, eight longer films. When you say a short is at 10 minutes, is at 20 minutes? What are the terms of the lengths of these films?
Yeah, so the guideline for most festivals is anything under 40 minutes is a short.
Gotcha.
It's considered a short. And then how shorts usually work is, I mean, they can be as short as, you know, 30 seconds or a minute. But usually the way they present at a film festival, if it is short enough to be combined with a feature, it will screen beforehand, or you'll group a series of shorts together that share a theme, and that way people will just see the singular program of all the shorts together.
Love it. Hey, Susan, thanks so much for taking time. It's great to reconnect with you. I haven't seen you since for years and years and years.
For years, and yeah, Bob. And we're hoping to possibly do an event in San Diego in June, when I know there's talk of doing a USTS reunion. And if that happens, I'll definitely let you know. It'd be wonderful to
absolutely. So will you be doing a film festival down here as well in San Diego?
We don't have plans yet. We want to get the second year under our belt, and then we are looking at sending some of the films on tour.
Gotcha.
Because we've had some interest in that. And I just want to say, too, if folks are hearing this and they have documentaries or know of any, submissions are open through June, and we would love for folks to send them over to us.
And they just go to womensportsfilm.com.
Yes, they do.
Love that. Susan Sullivan has been a guest. Again, womensportsfilm.com. The second edition of the Film Festival is September 28th through 30th up in beautiful Oakland, California. I love that. Susan, always a pleasure. Congrats on everything you're doing.
Thank you so much, Bob. Keep up the great work with what you're doing, too.
Thank you. Again, we're brought to you by Tough Man Triathlon Series, VeloFix.com, the coolest mobile bike shop around. Run the City 5K coming up on June 15th, 7 p.m. Liberty Station, San Diego's largest office party. Our Challenge Athletes Foundation, we've raised over $80 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on iTunes or on Babbittville.com. And as always, endurance lives here.